Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Kate Hamer's stunning debut novel, The Girl in the Red Coat, came out in paperback recently. It's a powerful read, but be prepared. It takes on every parent's worst nightmare. A mother and daughter, Beth and Carmel, go to a crowded outdoor storytelling fair. Beth knows to hold on to 8-year-old Carmel, who tends to wander, but the air is thick with fog, and Carmel just disappears into it. What follows is a stomach-churning, do-not-read-right-before-bedtime-but-gorgeously-written look at the ties that bind mother and child and the wrenching tear when they are broken. We see Carmel's disappearance from both points of view, mom and daughter, as Carmel is snatched by a religious fanatic who thinks the child has powers. Maybe she does. The Girl in the Red Coat was an Amazon Best Book of the Year last year and got rave reviews from The Guardian and Michiko Kakutani in The New York Times. We spoke with Kate Hamer shortly after publication. How could you? My heart is racing even now, just anticipating talking to you about, you know, a child abduction.
I know it is obviously such a difficult subject, and it's certainly one I don't think I could have tackled when my children were young. Mm. I think to a certain extent with writing, you do work out your fears and put them on the page so they're in a nice containable form with, you know, two hard covers keeping them safe inside. And I think that's certainly the case with this. I mean, it's every parent's fear.
And you spare no emotion in this. Where did it come from? You say maybe just to talk out what every parent fears, but was there a particular story that you heard that you started to wonder about?
No, not really. It's it kind of came to me in the form, I would say, of an image, which was of a little girl in a red coat and standing in a kind of woods or a forest. And in it, I thought she looked lost in this image. So really, the mission of the book was to find out what had happened and why. It was quite a persistent image I carried around with me for a couple of weeks.
Well, it could be, as Michiko Kakutani points out, maybe it's Little Red Riding Hood, you know, floating up from your childhood. We were told fairy tales about, you know, almost cautionary tales about little girls and children who get lost.
I think definitely. But it's strange how the process works. It was only really after I finished the first draft that I thought that might be the case. Mm. But certainly I was brought up with fairy tales, and my mum was a secondhand book fiend, and so I had old, almost Victorian versions, and they didn't spare the child, I tell you. Yeah. These, they were, the, you know, probably quite close to the traditional tales, actually.
Yeah. We'll start with talking about how you plumb what happens to Beth. And by plumb, it's sort of, you literally have to get into her stomach, you know, which is, you know, convulsing. I mean, what was it like to try to describe what would happen to a mother when, just start with that day, when you turn around and that child's not there?
I think you picked up on something there. I did really, I focused on physical sensations because I imagined grief as being a very, very physical thing. Yeah. So that's certainly reflected in the way she deals with everything. You know, she feels everything very viscerally.
Well, anyone who's had a child wander off, it's like you go from 0 to 150, you know, and you look like a crazy person to everybody around you, you know,
yeah. Because,
you know, help me. And then there comes a point where Beth is sort of having to live with this idea that her child is gone. It's gone on for 100 days, 150 days. And she's in that world of, wow, if I even have any normalcy, will that be abandoning her? She goes into a room, looks at her things. Would you just read that paragraph?
I left her room, all the breaths she took in there, her thoughts that still bumped around the ceiling. She seemed to flit around me. I wondered for a split second, was she ever real? Had I dreamt up her whole life? I went into the bathroom and pulled the cord so the harsh bulbs above the mirror showed me in a blaze. I pulled up my T-shirt. There she was, in the tracks spreading across my belly, marks made as if by small skeleton hands, fine, silvery.
I'm thinking, in a way, I've been asking, you know, how could you live with this story? But in a way, maybe you're a little luckier than the reader, because did you know where the story was going? Did you already know?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually. And I did know more or less from the beginning. I wrote the first chapter in one go, but I wrote the ending pretty soon after that. Yeah, the last two paragraphs. I think that's sort of emerging as the way that I work.
So you did know what those last two paragraphs were like. We don't, the readers, and we're page turning. So come to writing Carmel, who, by the way, has been snatched by a man who lies to her, which is what child predators do, tells her that her mother's dead, that her father doesn't want her. At one point, she's standing by a tree and she looks to the way the branches are formed. Could you read that?
The crying cup, I say, because sometimes it makes me feel better to give names to things. I lean over and let the tears fall down there. They splash onto the hot, dry wood and it makes the burn smell stronger. The little puddle there is like Tara's puddle on her desk, and I try not to let them, but thoughts of Mum come rushing into my head, and I can't make them stop. Only now she's not saying, "Courage, Carmel, courage," or anything like that. She can't say anything because she's dead.
So now, are you having your heart broken imagining what a child feels like when they're separated from their parent?
Yeah, I read an interesting thing recently. It was something like all books about missing people are crime novels, but they're also love stories too. And I think that's really appropriate for this book. It really, at the heart of it, it's about mothers and daughters. That's the real beating heart of the novel, I would say.
Did you do any research? There have been children who've been abducted, who've been returned, who tell what they were thinking. Did you read anything, try to put some reality?
Do you know, I made a very concrete decision right at the beginning that I didn't want to do any research into real-life cases. I didn't want to sort of paste details of stories from the news onto this, a novel. And secondly, it was a kind of respect, I think, for families that have actually gone through this. I didn't want to appropriate the details of their families and put it onto my characters. So I made a really conscious decision not to go down that road.
Did you ever worry? You know, there seems to be the genre of the missing girl, gone girl, the good girl, the girl on the train, don't look now, the couple grieving their dead daughter. And there's also, you know, whole television shows that are devoted to girls who have been murdered or are missing. It gives this sense that we are living in a terrible Grimm's fairy tale and all young girls are in danger of being snatched. Did you ever worry about adding to that? Because actually, you know, most children do not.
Yeah, sure.
Snatched.
I think that's a really valid point, actually. And it was in my mind as I was writing. And it's a difficult one. It's, you know, how much do you sort of, in terms of fiction, when you're writing fiction, do you not want to write about something because it's fiction? I'm not sure where the answers lie on that one, actually. I think, as long as you, when you're writing, if you stay in your own personal boundaries and you don't do anything that makes you feel really uncomfortable, I kind of feel okay if I stay within those limits. As a writer, the only thing you really have is your instincts and your imagination. Those are the two things. So they sort of interplay with each other.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, you give Carmel a certain strength. I mean, it's very hard to read as she's a little girl, and as she believes people she shouldn't, and as she wanders past people that could possibly help her but doesn't realize it, and you just, it just breaks your heart. But you also give her, and we don't want to give too much away, you also give her some power.
Yeah, she's, I don't know if you have the phrase an old head on young shoulders or an old soul.
Old soul,
An old soul, yeah. She's very much an old soul in this world.
That's Kate Hamer talking about one of her characters, Carmel, a little girl who is abducted early on in her debut novel, The Girl in the Red Coat. But readers, stay with it. Kate, thank you.
Thank you so much. Lovely to talk to you.
We spoke with Kate Hamer last March. Her book, The Girl in the Red Coat, is out in paperback. You can read an excerpt which presents both mother and daughter perspectives at hereandnow.org.